unceded territory of the Musqueam people, and would like to take this time to acknowledge and thank them for housing us here at CITR.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Finding the Funny. McEwen.
This is our first episode of Finding the Funny here at CITR. I'm your host, Nico McEwen, and here's what's in store for episode one called New Set or Best Jokes. To start the show, we're going to be listening to a clip from Talking Funny, which was an HBO special featuring Ricky Gervais, Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and Louis C.K.
The people that write about comedy, and I know it's not their business, the critics, but they should understand what an act is. When I go to see somebody work, I don't want to see your new hour.
I do.
I want to see the act.
See, this is the eternal argument between him and I that we've been having this discussion literally.
Well, because what is it? I have the same feeling because I throw away my act every year. I do a new hour and I throw it away and
can we get some real comedians?
No.
After playing that clip, I want to pose the question to all of you, the listeners. What do you guys think? Do you think a comedian should be putting out their best jokes, even if they're older jokes, or do you think they should try to use new stuff for new crowds? You can contact me at Finding the Funny on Twitter. I want to hear all your comments and thoughts on today's discussion, and then I'll reply to your comments and thoughts in the following episode. An argument Jerry Seinfeld makes later in the special is that when you go see Prince, you don't go to see his newest stuff, you go to see his classics, which is an interesting point, and it's very fair. But it also poses the question, what's the difference between a musical show and a stand-up show? Because obviously, they're both doing a set, they're both performing, they both have a microphone, they both have an audience with expectations, but there's still a lot of differences. I'd say one of the key differences is that at a stand-up show, you're not expecting, or at least not planning, to speak along with the stand-up comedian. Obviously, at a musical show, I think that's a big part of it, is that you get to sing with the person that you love so much that made this song. So, all right. We've shut down Jerry Seinfeld's notion on comparing a singer like Prince, a performer, to a stand-up comedian such as himself. Now I want to talk about a part of that clip. You guys might not have heard Chris Rock was talking, but Louis C.K. tried to chime in, and he said the following.
What's the difference?
Did you catch it?
What's the difference?
Nope, that's faster. Meant to make it slower.
What's the difference?
Basically, he's saying, what's the difference in performing an act that utilizes word-for-word the same jokes that you've done, performing an act with all new material, but counting on the fact that the audience is there to see you. You yourself are the act. Often comedians will have really similar bits in different specials. That's because that's their shtick, that's their material. So is it different if they're just doing different jokes but similar subject matter? And does that count as what the audience wants to see or hear? A lot of Kevin Hart's material centers around the fact that he's a short man who doesn't like confrontation. And that's funny. That's immediately funny. And then he makes it that much better by wanting to be the macho man. Bill Burr even references the fact that for 3 specials now, he's complained about the population problem. And that is an ongoing bit of his material. So whether you're seeing a word-for-word old joke or you're seeing a new special with similar subject matter, what are you looking for as an audience member? Are you looking for that perfect joke that was done 10 years ago, or do you want to hear strictly new stuff like Louis C.K. said he does? I went to go see Louis C.K. when he was here in Vancouver. It was a wonderful, wonderful show, and it was all new material, similar subject matter. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting how I didn't feel like I was particularly missing any of his old work, that I felt ripped off in any way, because he was still doing his act, which is Louis C.K. It's almost fascinating to be able to see the growth and development in certain jokes or even certain subject matters for stand-up comedians now that we have such a vast array of material at our fingertips. We can hear an entire lifetime of a comedian in the span of 5 hours if we listen to a different number of their specials. And now an ad from our sponsors. I've been
really trying. Do you like laughing, hilarity, radical thought-provoking creativity, and laughing? UBC Improv is UBC's home for improvisational comedy, theater made up on the spot. Like us on Facebook to learn when our next shows are. Search for us on YouTube for our film sketches. And follow us on Twitter because we want the followers. UBC Improv. Insert cheesy slogan here. Let's get it on. It's
your girl. Let's get it on. All right, let's get back to the bits. I'm going to play a bit by Bill Burr called NFL Draft. As a station, we here at CITR believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit. This may include content that could be construed as offensive. If you or anyone around you is sensitive to such material, please feel free to tune out of this program and tune back in for a later program. You've been warned. Enjoy.
That's the same way I look at people laugh who got upset about, you know, Michael Sam, the gay football player, kissing his boyfriend when he got drafted. Everybody bitch moaning and complaining. It's like, dude, you know what? That's what you get for watching the draft. All right? Now, once again, what kind of a fucking loser just sits there watching round after round? The Jets are up next. I think they need a cornerback. They need to improve the defensive line. Dude, that's like going to a graduation ceremony where you don't know anybody who's graduating. It's just fucking sitting there. They're going to have the whole list the next day. They'll have everybody who drafted, who, when. Fucking got to sit there and watch that shit.
The first time I heard that bit, I was just so impressed because I've actually watched sports drafts before, and yeah, they are as boring and ridiculous as he states, but I never would have thought to turn it into a stand-up comedy bit. It just didn't seem like the kind of thing that warranted humor for some reason to me, but it actually has so many great elements of humor. The ridiculousness of watching something that's going to be displayed the following day. Such a good observation comic. He finds so many mundane things and turns them into these beautiful moments of comedy. Actually, in this moment, it's not even mundane. It's more along the lines of sad, the fact that these people were upset about Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend. And Bill Burr just turned that into a moment of laughing at these people for being absolutely terrible. But instead of, like a newsman would report it, which is the unfortunate truth, Bill Burr just points out the fact that they are the losers. They're the ones sitting at home watching the equivalent of a graduation ceremony. If you like that bit, the NFL Draft by Bill Burr, you can catch almost all of his specials. I think are on Netflix now. If not, I'm sure you can find them online. He is such a fantastic rant-style comic, and if that's your particular sense of humor, I am sure you will have hours of enjoyment watching Bill Burr. It's time for another ad from our sponsors.
Oh, man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude, we get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
At this point, I want to recommend a particular comedian named John Mulaney. I'm sure you probably caught his stand-up specials on Netflix, or maybe you saw his show, Mulaney. He is a comic out of Chicago. He went on to write for Saturday Night Live. He even did a couple of his bits on Weekend Update. If you saw his sitcom with Martin Short, you noticed probably that the jokes in the show were directly from his stand-up, which was a nice idea. The show didn't particularly pan out how he probably hoped, but he even references that in his newest stand-up show called The Comeback Kid. One thing John Mulaney has working for him really wonderfully is the fact that he really does look like your basic average Joe white male, but he has this rebellious past that just surprises you with every story that he tells. And he's very self-aware of this fact, the fact that he looks like the kind of person that never did anything.
I'm Irish, I keep things very bottled up, and I don't drink, which is not what you're supposed to do when you're Irish. I don't drink. I used to drink, and then I drank too much, and I had to stop. That surprises a lot of audiences because I don't look like someone who used to do anything. I look like I was just sitting in a room in a chair eating saltines for like 28 years, and then I walked right out here.
Film and television has really changed stand-up comedy because before it was live performances, but then people would be buying your album, they'd be buying your record, and they'd be listening to the comedy. Now it's almost exclusively on YouTube or Netflix or some sort of video showing format. So your appearance and motion and what you do on stage, though also important before because you're performing in front of a live crowd and they're laughing at what you're saying in part because of who it's coming from, what you look like, and what you're doing. But now I feel like that's taking a whole nother level. If you have any thoughts on how video has changed stand-up comedy, whether it be for the better or for the worse, make sure you hit me up at FindingTheFunny on Twitter. Overall, I was just trying to make the point that John Mulaney does a great job of referencing the fact that his look makes people not believe certain things about himself, which makes the story that much better. He does that for the visual audience as well as obviously the audio audience, because people listening, people that aren't able to see him, are hearing his description of himself as someone who looks like he's been eating saltines in a room, kind of implying that he is pale and not very lively. And this just is a really good example of how visual is such a big part of the audio format of stand-up. Now it's time for some friendly comedy recommendations from me, your host, Nico. There is Moshe Kasher's Live in Oakland, Brian Regan's I Walked on the Moon, and of course the notorious Dane Cook's Vicious Circle. The first two of this episode's recommendations you might not have heard of, and I definitely recommend them. I believe you can find each of them on YouTube. And then the last one of which a lot of you comedy lovers have probably seen or heard of, that's Dane Cook's Vicious Circle. Alright, I'll just come out and say it. Dane Cook has been caught for stealing jokes, but that doesn't make this special any worse. It's still going to make you laugh. It's got some great subject matter. And so, yeah, that's as much as I'll say about that for now. Check out Dane Cook's Vicious Circle. We'll talk about Dane Cook in the future. And I do want to get your guys' comments. So you heard me bring him up. Feel free to tweet me. Whoa. I just realized I almost went halfway through the show without mentioning local Vancouver stand-up opportunities. We are here in Vancouver. I've been talking about some big-time names and top performers for a while now, but let's talk about our local stand-up comedy. The stand-up workout room that I got my very first stand-up show at is called Kino Cafe, located on Canby Street, just between 18th and 19th Avenue, and I believe it's one of Vancouver's longest-running stand-up comedy rooms, if not the longest. It's run by the mustache man himself, Steve Allen, a longtime contributor to the Vancouver comedy community. One of the all-time best performances I've seen at Kino Cafe, and even generally one of the best performances I've seen of stand-up comedy, was Dino Archie. He had this bit where he basically personified his penis and talked about giving it a gold watch for its retirement party, and I was just on the floor laughing. So definitely check out Kino Cafe and Dino Archie, too. If you want to find places you can perform, go and try to join the Vancouver Stand-Up Comedy Forum Facebook page, and they'll hook you up with lots of great opportunities. Some other locations with stand-up comedy, obviously there's the well-known Yuck Yucks or the Comedy Mix, but there's also a place called 12 Kings on 12th and Kingsway, and they have stand-up comedy, I believe, on Sundays. They do live stand-up, and I believe it's open. I believe it's a sign-up-based comedy room, so if you show up at 7, you'll get a spot in the show for 9 o'clock. I just realized I never even said when Kino's stand-up night is. It's on Tuesday nights. I believe the show starts at 9:30. I'd say arrive at 9 to be safe. Could be 10, but basically show up on Tuesday night around 9 o'clock and you're in for an awesome show. They have a list of comedians every Tuesday night, ranging from beginners in the 3 to 5 minute slot to longtime stand-ups, including some really top headliners at the end of the show. So definitely check out Kino Stand-Up Nights on Tuesdays. Okie dokie, I've been talking for quite some time now, and you guys are probably expecting another stand-up comedy bit. This next one isn't from a full-length special. It's actually from one of Moshe Kasher's performances at the Laugh Factory, and this is called YouTube Comments. As a station, we here at CITR believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit. This may include content that could be construed as offensive. If you or anyone around you is sensitive to such material, please feel free to tune out of this program and tune back in for a later program. You've been warned. Enjoy.
Now it's like me and Jesus eat a sandwich in the back of a pickup truck. Okay, I guess I'll join up then. That joke was recently featured on the front page of YouTube, which was sort of exciting for me to see a clip on the front page of YouTube, because when you have a clip on the front page, you'll have hundreds of thousands of people view your clip, and I got excited to see that until I opened up the clip and I looked at the 1,500 comments underneath the clip, the kind of title avalanche of theological warfare that I'd set off between the online atheist loser community and the online religious loser community, and battling it out on my clip! Most of it having nothing to do with the clip at all, just taking my moment in the internet sunshine for their pathetic turf war. Like, there is no God, you believe a lie, you're an idiot. There is a God, you're going to hell, you're a sinner. This comedian looks gay, idiot, gay, sinner, gay. Over time, it starts to affect your self-esteem, but I believe in turning a frown upside down, which is why I wrote that phrase. And what I've done is I brought with me the greatest hits of that online flame war so that we could all share in some of the revelry of people talking shit about me on the internet. Thought you'd all like that. Here's a good first one. It goes, ha 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 ha, f*** you. Is that you? This guy sucks, but he can get better. Oh. What a nice asshole you are. I don't like this guy. He looks like something I want to punch in the face. That sounded like the laughter of agreement. I didn't appreciate that, guys. Black people. I don't know. Funny, but wasn't that guy in Devo? No, I wasn't. To the black people in the audience, Devo was a band in the 80s. That guy is wearing rapist glasses. Again, f***ing no, I'm not. And that's not actually a cool thing to say about a person. Rapist glasses? That's not even a real thing. You can't just make up a concept and then insult me with that concept. What are rapist glasses? What do rapists use glasses for? Like, hey, get over here. Your ass is mine tonight. Oh, I'm sorry. You can go. I was waiting for somebody pretty. My bad. This one's good. I call this the audience judger because in it I find out who I like in the audience and who I'm still not sure about. It goes, what's funny is his blatant ignorance and also being a fag. 50-50. The people I like in the audience, they laugh at the irony of the joke. But the people I'm still not sure about, they just go, what? You do look like a fag. And finally, fuck you, suck dick, never try to be a comedian again, you fucking bitch. I hope you die from cancer to see how foul hell really is. Love, Dad. That one hurt. That was a tough. My dad's been dead for 10 years, so it adds a layer of mystery to the thing. I didn't even know they had the internet in hell. Turns out they do. It's dial-up.
In that bit, he literally pulls out his phone to emphasize the point that he's reading direct comments. It's so cool because obviously stand-up comedy is an ever-changing art form and it's dependent on the time that the comedian is telling the joke. And Moshe Kasher is very modern with this bit particularly in the fact that he's talking about the format of YouTube and he's actually being almost meta in a way and self-aware when he's talking about the comments on his previous stand-up comedy bit. I'm curious what you, the listeners, think about that idea, reading comments or opinions of the listeners, of audiences, on your past stand-up comedy bits. I love it and I hate it, and I don't really know why. It kind of reminds me, Jerry Seinfeld always talks about how the stand-up comedian should know while they're on stage that they are the most important person in the room, as it is self-evident they're the one speaking to the microphone and everyone else is listening. Other comedians would argue that, no, you're supposed to be attainable to the audience, or at least seem like someone that they can relate to. So for Moshe Kasher to do that with this bit where he literally talks about another audience, it almost makes the idea that the audience would, that is currently in the room, would be able to put themselves in his shoes impossible, and it almost makes them have to turn the eye on themselves, I guess you could say. But all in all, his ability to be so current with this material is so important, because especially now with the wealth of stand-up comedy we can listen to on a daily basis, I almost feel like it's a different challenge for stand-up comedy writers and comedy writers in general, because you're hearing so many different jokes in everything that you watch and listen to, and it feels like everything has been done, which I'm sure is common for a lot of art forms, music, film and television, even traditional art like paintings. So all in all, hats off to you, Moshe Kasher.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here. God. Oh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Oh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Anyone and everyone who considers themselves even remotely creative, I ask you the age-old question, how do you create something new when it feels like everything's been done? Please give me all of your best, wackiest, and most unbelievable answers at Finding the Funny on Twitter. I mentioned meta jokes and I mentioned creativity, and who better to combine both of those ideas than Bo Burnham?
Mr.
Bo, oh my God. Bo, oh my God. Bo.
Oh my God. Bo, oh my God.
Mr. Burnham.
Okay, so I cut parts of that, but that's basically the end of Bo Burnham's first mega stand-up special called What? You can catch it on YouTube and I think Netflix too. And yeah, as you can see, he uses music in his stand-up comedy. He's self-referential and he is very, very creative. Oh no, we are almost running out of time here in the first episode of
Finding the Funny.
The main question of the show, new set or best jokes, brought to you by Talking Funny, HBO special. Jerry Seinfeld asked it, is a comedian supposed to perform their best jokes no matter how old for their respective audience? Or, like Louis C.K. does, do they do new jokes, new specials, and change it up? You may have noticed I was kind of leaning towards the new jokes, but I gotta give props to Jerry. I saw Jerry Seinfeld when he was here in Vancouver at the Queen Elizabeth Theater. An amazing show, of course. And I have to admit, I was pretty stoked when I was hearing some of his older bits in that amazing Jerry Seinfeld voice. He did the Pop-Tart bit, and I think I probably wouldn't even question how much I love bringing back old jokes if Jerry Seinfeld had just done his joke where he goes, who's giving out candy? Everyone that we know is just giving out candy. It's not the best Seinfeld impression, but it's there. I think I just thought of one of the big differences or problems with the question I posed, or at least the one that Jerry Seinfeld poses, because different audiences expect different things depending on the comedian they're going to see. When I went to go see Louis C.K., I was expecting jokes I had never heard before, and I was delightfully correct in that expectation. When I went to see Jerry Seinfeld, I expected to see jokes that I had heard before, but knowing that going in, it made them that much better when I heard them. I almost found myself anticipating if he was about to go into the joke that I knew, or because he also did jokes I hadn't heard before, whether it be because I hadn't particularly found them online, or whether it was an entirely new joke he'd only worked out and never really done at a bigger event. I don't know. I really want this Radio CITR show, Finding the Funny, that I've created to be something that people can contribute to, that people can share their opinions on. So please use the Twitter handle. I'm always looking for different guests to interview or different topics to talk about. It is a variety show that centers around comedy, but I also have passion for sports and music and a bunch of different entertainment forms, so I'm sure that those will incorporate themselves into later episodes. I'll also be posting all the episodes onto SoundCloud, so if you want to listen to them there or listen to different segments or maybe show your friends a bit that I played and try to find out what it's called and you can look up the actual whole special, I'd love that, so check it out on SoundCloud. It'll be called Finding the Funny. To end this episode, I wanted to let everybody know a couple facts about myself and who you've been listening to and who you'll hopefully keep listening to. I am from Vancouver, BC. I started acting when I was 10 months old in baby commercials. Then I started film and television when I was 6 years old. I've worked in film and television ever since then in a variety of projects. I've done theater work as well. What do I watch? I watch a lot of Saturday Night Live. I watch Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. I watch a variety of different sports channels. I'm currently your UBC announcer for basketball and soccer, and I do all of our on-court hosting, so come check out your UBC sports teams. We got lots of fun activations going on during the breaks and great prizes. I think that sums up your get to know me. Hope you guys like what you heard and hope you guys listen to a lot more Finding the Funny here on CITR 101.9. The next show you have coming up on CITR 101.9 is UBC Arts on Air. You can listen to the top writers, philosophers, researchers, singers, and actors in the humanities, social sciences, and creative and performing arts right here at UBC, coming up at 6:30. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode of Finding the Funny. In our final few minutes, I will play an old Italian joke that my zio used to tell me when I was a kid. This is Lou Monte with the Three Italian Bears.
Once upon a time, there was three Italian bears. The mama bear, the papa bear, and the baby bear. And they have a nice Italian names. Crick, Crock, and Crack. And they live in the country near the forest in a nice house with no mortgage. And one day, the mama bear, the papa bear, and the baby bear, they go to the beach in a hurry, and they forget to lock the door. By and by comes Goldilocks, whose real name is Concetta Casacavalla. And she got nothing to do but make trouble. She push all of the food down the mouth. No leave, no crumbs. Then she go upstairs and she sleep in all of the beds. Lazy malandrine. By and by comes home with the three bears, all sunburned and sand in the shoes. They got no food and they got no beds. And what are they gonna do to Goldilocks, whose real name is Concetta Casacavalla? Throw her in the street and call the policeman? That's no nice. They was Italian bears and they sleep on the floor. Now Goldilocks stayed there for 3 weeks. She ate them out of house and home. And just because they asked her to fix the beds, She say, why va nabble? And she run home to her mama crying. And she tell her mama, what kind of son among Gonya the tree